PXG has done it again with the launch of a new lineup of drivers, fairways, hybrids, and irons. The new Gen 5 golf clubs deliver significantly increased MOI, faster ball speeds, longer distances, and tighter dispersions, all coupled with the exceptional feel and sound golfers have come to expect from PXG. Schedule your custom fitting or buy online at pxg.com.
And we're back, Stripe Show Podcast, on a Wednesday. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. Just me today, going to be following up on a few topics that I've been pushing out there on social media that have been getting a lot of attention. One of them, the new swing of Ricky Fowler that I posted on Twitter, and I just saw Golf Digest pick it up and repost it and getting lots of comments about this position at the top. I want to talk about Ricky Fowler here today. Ricky Fowler, the student, and then also Ricky Fowler, the swing changes. Give you my thoughts on that. We'll move it along to Colin Morikawa. I was talking about some of the putting changes that that he has made, which I really like. I really like the direction that Colin Morikawa is going with his putting stroke. In fact, I think it's a direction that there's a few other players need to go that tend to struggle with the flat stick, including defending champion this week at the Sony Open, Hideki Matsuyama. I'm going to give you some further thoughts on that. And then finally, Tony Finau. Boy, it's interesting that that picture that I posted on Twitter at Travis Fulton of Finau hitting a shot in Hawaii with the club head more out and up versus the club head more inside. And it's a very noticeable difference. So I'm going to give you some thoughts on that. Tony Finau, of course, just an incredible season last year. And is he going through some swing changes? So three different topics, focusing primarily from an instruction standpoint. Of course, Froggy, usually on Wednesdays. He was on Monday with Tom Hoge. God bless Tom Hoge. TCU Horned Frog alumni. Finishes T3 at the Century Tournament of Champions. Hops on a plane, goes to LA to support his Horned Frogs against the Georgia Bulldogs, and just takes a ass whipping. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. Hops back on a plane and he's back in Honolulu. He'll be in the field this week. Big fan of Tom Hoge. I really like Tom Hoge. Ball striking machine. Another good tournament for him. I think Tom Hoge is poised to continue to play some good golf. And I think really put himself in the hat for the Ryder Cup too. And I really think he's on that kind of trajectory. He was right there for the final pick for the President's Cup, and they decided on Kevin Kisner. But I like Tom Hoge in the direction that he's heading. So let's go back to Ricky Fowler here. You know, I've been critical of Ricky over the last 3 years. I didn't think Ricky went about things probably the right way when it comes from a technique standpoint. Of course, Ricky was with Butch Harmon for many years. That's when he had his greatest run. Butch, of course, one of the best coaches of all time. And Ricky was playing great golf, winning the Players' Championship. He had multiple second place finishes in major championships. He was a factor. Ricky Fowler's done so much for the game. I mean, he is a terrific figure, a terrific role model for so many kids. And I'm a big fan of Ricky Fowler. But on the surface of how he went about handling some of his technique things, he left Butch, went to John Tillery. And when I talked to John and I understood some of the changes that they were going to make, I quickly said to myself, there's no way that I would want this job. There's no way that I would want this job to try to make these kinds of wholesale changes with Ricky Fowler. I kind of got the impression that these changes, though, with Ricky, were kind of being pushed upon by Ricky. These are some of the things that Ricky wanted to do. make these changes. One of them was the position at the top. And Ricky, his whole career has had the club a bit laid off. And when you look at a picture from down the line, the club is pointing excessively, you know, when you're looking at it, it's pointing to the left, right? So it's not perfectly down the line. It's not across the line like we would see like with a Freddie Couples or someone, or a Bryson with his driver. It's laid off and pointing, you know, over to the left. And that's where it's always been. From a technique standpoint, you're probably not going to teach that. You're never going to take someone up there and say, hey, I want the club here. I want it laid off. That's not where you're going to put them. Because when you get it laid off, the tendency is the club will steepen a little in transition. And then from there, you've got to stand the handle up. The body's not going to rotate as clean. The tendency is the spine can hang a little back in right bend. The chest won't open up as much. And that's kind of what Ricky did. But Ricky played at a very high level. Oklahoma State, some really good returns in his young professional career, as I mentioned. And he was a factor. He was one of the better players in the world. So he goes down this path of now trying to get the club more across the line, or probably what felt more across the line, certainly more down the line. And when you get the club more down the line versus laid off, then the shaft's going to want to pitch back a little more in transition, and then off you go, right? You can probably rotate a little cleaner. In addition to that, Ricky wanted to kind of load up more. Ricky's right hip would tend to kind of spin away. He would maximize his turn early in the backswing. So you could see him for years there with John trying to load a little bit more into the right heel, you know, getting that right hip more on top of the ankle, a little more stacked up versus spinning away. So those are two wholesale changes. And they went down that path. And then all of a sudden, I think they tabled the club at the top and it was just the body, but it was too late. There was a lot of things happening mentally. When you go down a change like this and you see these kinds of wholesale changes, the CEO and the decision maker of all this is the player. The player is the one that is electing to go down this path. I put the bulk of the responsibility on Ricky. Now Ricky is back with Butch Harmon. And one of the first videos we see is the club's perfect at the top. It's right down the line. Technically, aesthetically, it's as good as I've ever seen it. And off he goes. Now he's on the range, no pressure, and it looks good. And then it left me thinking, as I look at this, all right, he's back with Butch. Very little time they've been together since rejoining. And all of a sudden, now the club's perfect. You know, I never saw the club like that when he was with John. And I know John was trying to put it there. But all of a sudden, now he's back with Butch. And just like that, the club is perfect at the top. So it left me thinking, you know, what's happening here? When you look at today's coaching world, I'll take the NFL, for example. There's a lot of young head coaches now. Kyle Shanahan with the San Francisco 49ers is 43. Mike McDaniel, Miami Dolphins, is 39. Sean McVay, brilliant mind, LA Rams, 36. You look at the coaching in professional golf. We have young teachers that are out there on the range. Chris Como, brilliant mind, 37. John Tillery, brilliant mind, 40. And the list goes down. There's a lot of really talented young teachers. And I think there's certainly a place for all of that in the sport. These are curious minds. They're moving the game along, modern teaching. They're uncovering a lot of new ideas. They're proving old myths from the past false. That's how we progress. I remember when I got into teaching, I was taught that the path starts it and the face curves it. The path starts the ball and the face curves it. Well, and today it's just the opposite. We know that's not the way it is. The face starts it and the path curves it. There's a relationship there, but for years, we had it wrong. There's a lot of things that we progress with, right? And I think these young minds help that. They're very good X's and O's. They look deeper. The science is more exact. We're smarter. We're further along. And I think there's a place for that. But I also still think there's a place for the more experienced coach. that's a little bit older, because I think when you're working with these top players and you're working with NFL players, there's different situations where perhaps I think a more experienced coach is needed. I think about the Denver Broncos right now. The Denver Broncos need a heavy-handed, more experienced coach. Russell Wilson is a big name, big brand that pushed Nathaniel Hackett around, the head coach. They need someone in there like John Harbaugh to come in, Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton, more experienced, a lot of success, to say, no, this is the way it's going to be. I think there's time and place for that in every sport. And I think with Ricky Fowler, big name, big brand, has a lot of things happening off the golf course. I think he needs that more experienced, heavy-handed coach like a Butch Harmon, where Butch can look at Ricky and say, do you want to be a Kardashian or do you want to be the best player that you can be? And he told him that before, you know, he left and, you know, started doing some of his other things. So I think with Butch, he can look at Ricky and say, hey, Ricky, just get the club more down the line. I mean, come on, what are we doing? Do you want to make change or not? And sometimes I think you get into those situations where it's hard as a coach to manage that line. I once had a top coach, and I'm not going to mention the name. I once had a top coach sit next to me at a conference, and he teaches one of the biggest names in golf. And I'm not going to mention the names here, but he teaches one of the biggest, most popular, most successful names in professional golf today. And he looked at me and he said to me, we were talking about something. He says, you know, one of the biggest challenges, if not the biggest challenge, is how do you look at a player who has everything? Who has everything and has accomplished some of the biggest tournaments, have won some of the biggest tournaments in the game? How do you look at that player when they need it to hold them accountable and keep them motivated to be the best they can be? They already got two houses, beautiful wife, beautiful children, all the money in the world, two or three cars, swimming pool, six rooms, four and a half bath, a chef, trainer, sports psychologist. You want a new driver? You want two, three? I'll send you. We'll get it overnighted to you. Everything is right there at their fingertips. How do you keep that person accountable and motivated to be the best they can be? It's difficult. It's difficult. And I think as you get into that and you're managing that, I think that experienced coach, heavy-handed, is still needed for so many players. And I think it's a struggle as these young coaches who are brilliant and have so much to offer, I think that's a line that some manage better than others, I'm sure. And I had that conversation with a lot of them and how they manage that. I think Bryson DeChambeau needs the heavier hand right now as well. I think he's kind of bought into seeing how far he can hit the golf ball more than he has how complete of a player you can be. You need people in your camp that can give you the truth, right? That can look you in the face and say, no, that's not the best thing for you. This is. Hey, Ricky, get the club down the line. Come on. What are you waiting for? Move your hip over there. If that's what you want to do, do it. Don't dabble in it. Work at it. And I think Butch just brings probably that more experience and that heavier hand to make it happen. I'm really curious to see how Ricky does this year. It's a tricky one. That club at the top is a tricky one. If you saw the podcast that I did last week with John Tillery, and who's having a lot of success with Sepp Straka, who played great golf last year, Kevin Kisner over the years, but we talked about that club and that window up there and the sensitivity of that. Boy, it's tricky. I mean, it's a wholesale change. And then you add the right hip, man, you better be committed. I mean, you better be willing to get in there and exaggerate and commit, because you get caught in between. It's no man's land. I want to move on to Colin Morikawa, who made some changes with his putter, and he switched to a coach. Well, I shouldn't say switch. He hired a putting coach for the first time in his career, Stephen Sweeney. And Stephen Sweeney is a guest and a friend of the podcast. I've been texting with him over the last week. Stephen will be coming on the podcast within the next 2 weeks. He teaches a number of players, excellent putting coach, Mito Pereira, and more. And you know how I feel about Mito. Huge on Mito. But you look at Morikawa, and you look at how he used to putt versus what he's doing now. In many ways, it's completely opposite. You want to talk about wholesale changes. This is one, though. This is one that makes sense because Morikawa, look, he's won 2 major championships. He's had a lot of success, but the putter is holding him back to excelling at the highest level and being more consistent and getting off this roller coaster of the putter. He's way too talented of a ball striker. One of the best iron players in the world. And Morikawa, his putting stroke, when you look at it, it was kind of a 1-to-2 ratio. It was shorter back, longer through. There's still a lot of players that putt like that and have success. If you putt like that, like a Lydia Ko, and you're a wonderful putter, there ain't nowhere in the world you're going to change that. But if you putt like that and you struggle with distance control and you struggle getting the ball in line, and I even think, and I don't know this, and I'll ask Steven, but I even think that ball's got to roam around in the face a little bit, probably low in the face if I had to guess. Because usually in distance control, that at that level, like, okay, the ball can roam a little bit on the face, and then the speed of the putter head is inconsistent through the impact zone. There's too much hit. And I think Morikawa has too much hit. And you counter that with the putter head coming through and elevating through the zone a lot, then they can get low on the face. And that's difficult from a distance control standpoint. This is one that makes sense to me in making the change. It's going to take some work, though. And I think so often, you know, you think about, I bought a new putter, I change my grip, and it works. Right? And it works right away. New chapter mentally. And you can be fooled by that, right? That placebo effect. I mean, you can be fooled through that process that, well, this is what I need to be doing. Things free up, all of a sudden, I make it. How about it? But it may not be the right thing you need to be doing technically. I think there's probably a little bit of a new chapter, no wear and tear. And, you know, Morikawa went out there and freewheeled it for 3.5 rounds, and he made everything and it looked great. And then all of a sudden the heat was on and he started to, you know, we know what happened, backed up. But it's still, I think, the right thing to do. It makes sense technically, and I think it's going to help him, A, hit it more solid, B, control the speed of the putter head through the impact zone. And the way that works is when you look at Morikawa, he's now more 2-to-1. He takes it back longer and shorter throw. So instead of 1-to-2, watch my hand here for those that are watching. Like, I take it back, let's say 6 inches and then through 12. 2-to-1, I take it back 12 inches and through to 6. Now, what changes there is when you go longer back, shorter through, you have to load the speed of the putter head more in the backswing, more brisk, like Jordan Spieth. You've got to load the speed in, and then you can use that speed through the zone more consistently. It's more cruise control. If I go 1-to-2 and I take it back shorter, usually I go shorter and with less speed, then I got to hit the gas. So there's more of an acceleration phase there. And with the longer finish, the putter head can kind of elevate. And it's hard to manage that, right? Especially if the ball's roaming on the face and that speed of the putter head is hard to, you know, sometimes get feedback for the brain that makes sense. So technically, 2-to-1, load the energy in going back, cruise control coming through, shorter finish, lower finish, more committed. I think the left shoulder tends to hang in there a little bit more. That longer finish, I think we can pull up and out of it a little bit more. Love it. I also see Morikawa softer right forum. I see the ball position a touch more back, weight a little bit more left. I would bet it feels more draw bias to him. I would bet. And I'm going to ask Steven that. This is such good stuff in putting. Telling you. This makes sense for Morikawa. It does. He's never been a high-level putter. He's always been towards the bottom. His ball striking is so damn good that when he does keep his head above water in putting and he's good situationally, he can win and he can do it in major championships and he's not afraid to win. I don't put a lot of stock right now in Morikawa in this, you know, whatever you want to call it, you know, losing the lead, choking, whatever. I don't really put a lot of stock into that. I think Morikawa is going to be fine. I really do. And I love the direction of his putting. What's fascinating is that I just did this program for golftrainingaids.com and I did it with the putting stick. And I did this 3-video series on the putting stick on how to control the face so you can roll the ball down the stick, but then also how you can use the putting stick to manage the length of your stroke from a 2-to-1 standpoint. So it helps with distance control. And it's exactly what Morikawa was doing. Exactly. The changes he made. The same little winter series I did for the golftrainingaids.com. If you go to their website and you type in putting stick, use promo code Fulton20. Fulton20, you get a discount. You'll see the videos. I'm telling you. So that's Morikawa. That's my thoughts. I like the direction of Morikawa. I like the direction of Ricky. He needs the heavier hand with Butch. He needs it. I think Tiger going from Butch to Hank Haney is what Tiger needed. He needed that more experienced father figure. Heavier hand. Hold him more accountable. So that's my thoughts on that. Let's finish with Tony Finau. I got a long day of teaching today, folks. I've got, 7 lessons today here in the studio. Hope everyone's having a great start to their 2023 season. And I'm excited, you know, full year here in the studio. A lot of good content coming your way on Instagram at Travis Fulton Golf, Twitter at Travis Fulton. Stripe Show Podcast, do me a favor and leave me a ranking and a comment and all those things. Tell your friends. We've got a incredible lineup coming with the Stripe Show podcast. If you like professional golf discussion with some of the best analysts in the game, handicapping and betting with some of the best handicappers in the game, interviews with the best players in the game, and then instruction with the best teachers in the game, you're in the right spot. Tony Finau works with Boyd Summerhays, has for years. Boyd, one of my favorite people in the instruction world. And Tony, huge year last year, learned how to win situationally, and off he goes. And he hit the shot where at Century during the practice round where you could see the club head way more out and up. I mean, the club head was out in front of him halfway back. And then when he takes it back, you can see the club head dip inside. The club head gets kind of in behind his hands and the face opens. And of course, I take the pictures of those. And I took a video of Tony, by the way. The picture that I posted was a video that I took. And I took it halfway back. And then I took the new one at the Century and took it halfway back. And you could see the incredible difference. In fact, the picture made it on Golf Channel. Damon Hack put it up there and they were talking about, is Tony Finau going through swing changes? Now, the reality is Tony's been working on this club head more out and up for months. This is something he's been doing for a long time. It's his feel. He likes the concept of it. It's what he needs to feel more of. And of course, you post it and then you get the Twitter teachers Twitter amateur teachers saying, just Tony, swing your swing. You guys are overthinking this. Swing your swing. And for those that follow me, you know what I think about that. Swing your swing. If that's what you want to do, do it. Knock yourself out. But when you level out shooting 87 or 93, that's your own damn fault. Swing my swing. Look, the reality is that to move the needle and to get better, oftentimes you got to develop, or not oftentimes, you have to develop more skill. And to develop more skill, oftentimes you've got to make technical changes. Those technical changes need to happen more so the less skill you have. Okay, so something has to change. And usually these guys are working on something. And for Finau, he's been working on the club head more out and up. And when he takes it back, it's not as much. And he's just trying to find it somewhere in between. You got to be working on something out there, right? If you're not working on something, then what the hell is that guy on my payroll for standing next to me? So Finau, I would imagine with the club head more out and up, a few things happen. One is the club face, I think, is more square. Two is, I think he gets the shaft more vertical halfway back or three quarters of the way back when the left arm's parallel, that shaft's more vertical. And I would say three, he probably makes a better turn when he does that. When he just kind of rolls the club head in behind him, the face opens, the shaft probably gets a little more horizontal, and the left shoulder doesn't travel as much across. And I would imagine as those things kind of, you know, those, that move that he does and falls into, as that happens more and more, his swing can probably get a little too short for even him. He can get even a little quick in transition, and that's not what they want. So they kind of go the other way, make that happen, a little more deliberate, gives him a little more time or a little more of a load up, a little more time on the way down, off he goes. These are the things that you discover, right? And that you kind of hang on to that work for the player. And I think that's all it is with Tony Finau. So those are my thoughts. Ricky Fowler, Colin Morikawa, Tony Finau. It's been a great week. I mean, my goodness, lots of stuff to talk about. We're going to continue this. And we've got a special one coming tomorrow as well. We're going to give you a little more knowledge here in the world of instruction. And this one I'm excited about tomorrow. Dr. Greg Rose is going to join us with the Titleist Performance Institute. And Dr. Greg Rose, speaking of terrific minds, young minds getting into the game from the fitness standpoint, he's done so many wonderful things for our sport. And I believe Dr. Greg Rose has been working with Will Zalatoris on helping him manage the injury with his back. And Will Zalatoris, I actually made a post showing Will at Addressed and showing Will at Impact, and you could see the excessive side bend. I want to talk to Dr. Greg Rose about that side bend. In having excessive side bend, how does that put pressure on the back? And is it a good idea just in general to be working away from that side bend? I think we know that from a technical standpoint to work away from it as much as you can, but from a fitness standpoint and a body standpoint, I want to get his thoughts on that. Jason Day. I've been talking a lot more about him. I like the changes Jason Day has made. You see this more change of knee flex in Jason Day's swing in the backswing. Jason was kind of the poster child of turn the upper, but not so much the lower in the backswing. Jason Day's had a lot of back issues. I want to talk to Dr. Greg Rose about change of knee flex and the value that has on the body. And then finally, I want to talk to him about Bryson. And what we've seen with Bryson put all this weight on and then take it off. And then also with Bryson, just excessive amounts of driver swings over and over and over and over again. What appears to me like full speed. How concerned should we be with the increase in speed and then just the excessive nature of, say, Bryson, of just, you know, thousands of driver swings full speed. I mean, that's all I see him doing is hitting driver swings full speed. So as we go down this path of speed in the game, what do we need to understand? So I think it's going to be a fascinating conversation with Dr. Greg Rose. Thank you for being here. This was a fun one. Hopefully you learned some things. I'm telling you, go check out the Speed Stick. Go check it out. You want to putt, you want to get that nice little draw bias stroke, hit on the center of the face, roll it right down the stick with good distance control. It's like Morikawa. Tons of them going that way. It's good stuff. All right. Thank you for being here. Talk to you tomorrow, Dr. Greg Rose. See you.
Haymaker Coffee Company was established in 2021 to create the best coffee to fuel the underdogs who perseveres, who hustles, and have the give-it-all mentality to achieve their American dream. Haymaker Coffee only roasts top quality, specialty-grade coffee beans, resulting in brews that satisfies those who demand every drop from their coffee and day. If you work hard, run hard, fight hard, and play hard, we have your coffee right here.